Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn, and you know, so many times we wonder, does God really provide for me? And you know, I know he did a lot of miracles, turning the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish and fed thousands, but can he really provide over 2,000 years later? Well, if you got those doubts, you kind of lost hope in your financial world, you're at the right place. So the next couple of programs, we're going to be talking with Kurt Vernon. He is on staff as a pastor at Commonwealth City Church here in Lexington. He's also a phenomenal worship leader. We're going to be talking about a new CD he's got out later this week. But Kurt, first of all, man, just thanks for being here today.
Man, it's an honor to be here. Thanks for having me, Greg. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, I am vertically challenged, only 5'9", but God's blessed you. 6'9", and you were in a basketball crazy state, and I know you're in ministry now, but actually, yeah, you started out as a hooper, didn't you?
I did. I started out playing a little bit, but I tell people when you're 6'9" and weigh 250 pounds in Kentucky, they don't give you a choice. They just hand you a ball and say, go do your thing. So I played ball up through high school, went to college at Campbellsville University with the intention to play basketball, and when I got there, my knees had already kind of started getting bad, and I was praying about it, saying, God, what do you have for me? And really felt like he was telling me, hey, it's time to step away from ball, which was hard for me. It was, you know, hard for my dad.
Sure.
Because that was his dream to have, you know, for his son to go get a scholarship. And it just so happened that Campbellsville offered me the same scholarship to play music. And so it's now 20 years later, my knees are grateful for it, and I think
yes.
So is my ministry. So.
Absolutely. Well, I know that a lot of people are glad that you did choose the ministry route and not basketball, but you and I met a couple weeks ago and just kind of fellowshipping, and you were just sharing some unbelievable stories about how God has provided. And when you got into ministry, you kind of did a different route. Most guys get in, they want to make sure they have a nice office to meet with people and all that, maybe a window if they're really lucky, but you decide to be homeless. Share with us about that process.
Yeah, I was going to say, my office was a 92 Celica. It was also happened to be my bedroom and kitchen and everything else as well. So I was 20 years old, had been in college, and I came to this place, and I get to do a lot of ministry to students now. The church that I pastor is on the University of Kentucky's campus. I've actually been given the opportunity to meet in the Baptist Campus Ministry, the BCM. You know, we're about 100 feet from the Starbucks there in the library. And I love getting to minister to college students. But one of my favorite things about that is that when I talk to college students, I find there's this overwhelming sense that, like, oh, well, church people are just kind of fake. Mm. You know, there's this reputation for, oh, well, they just, you know, church people just put on that plastic smile and they do their thing. And, you know, and honestly, I grew up in a Christian home, son of a pastor, the more and more I thought about it, I was like, man, my experience really is that I see these people that talk a big game, and then the way they live does not seem to demonstrate these incredible truths that I read in the Bible. And I finally told God one day, I said, God, you know, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of it. I read my Bible, and I see all these amazing stories and these amazing provisions and these amazing promises kept, these amazing miracles that happen. I said, and then I look around my life, and the church looks boring. Mm. So I'm tired of it. And just felt like one day in my dorm room, as the Lord tends to do, not any kind of audible voice or nothing, but sometimes I have whispers in my spirit that are way more intelligent than my own voice, then I blame God for them. And I had this thought, it was, hey, Kurt, everything you're disappointed in the church for is still true of you.
Mm.
I said, God, there's one thing I cannot stand to be in my life, it's going to be fake. Mm. I can be a lot of things, but I cannot be fake. Mm. What does it look like for me to get to go out and to prove that all these things I read in your word are true? You know, and I felt simply like, well, just read the Bible and do what it says, which would kind of seem simple enough, but when you start reading the Bible and try to do what it says, it starts to get a little bit costly. You know, in the very first verses I read were in Luke 10. That day I just happened to open my Bible, Luke 10. Jesus sends out 72 guys, sends them in pairs, says, don't take anything with you. No money, no extra clothes, nothing. Just go, give as freely as you've received. Watch me work. I said, well, I've seen that interpreted hypothetically, you know.
Right.
Interpreted kind of loosely, like, oh, we can apply that to modern day mission trips or something. But I thought, I never heard anybody actually do it. And I felt like the Lord just kind of gave me the invite. Hey, how about you? So dropped out of college, took off on my first ever road trip, just learning to trust God. My rule was I wasn't allowed to take any money with me. I wasn't allowed to ask for money. And I just had to see what God would do. And
so not only you didn't take it, you didn't ask for anything either.
I wasn't allowed. That was my rule. I said, if God's real, he'll provide for me. And if he's not, I want to know. Yeah, I wanted to find that out. If I'm going to give my life, if I'm going to give my life in its entirety and sacrifice everything for the cause of Christ, then I want to know the Christ behind it. I want to know he's legit. And I don't think I had a heart to really test God. I think I knew he was there. I just think I was like, I want, if people are going to ask me questions about this later on in my life, and they're going to be skeptical, and I want to make sure the story God writes in me speaks to the skeptic, because I knew that's who I'd been. And so I took off on my first road trip, and sure enough, by the time I got back home, the Lord had done more than provide. And after that,
Give us your first, you don't have money, you're not allowed to ask. Yeah. Give us that first moment of faith and how God provided. Share how that happened on this trip.
The coolest thing was I took a buddy with me who at the time had told me he was agnostic. I said, hey, if you want to find out God's real, I got a way to do it. So we took off on a trip, and sure enough, just got to see God's provision in these small ways. And it would be random things. Like, it wasn't like going to a church and people give us money. It was meeting random people at a restaurant or a gas station. And I remember one time talking to a man who told me he was an atheist. And after talking for an hour about the Lord, he stopped and said, hey, I don't know how to explain this, but I feel a compulsion to give you all the money in my wallet. This happened outside of a Greyhound station in Atlanta, Georgia. And I said, I think that compulsion's the God you don't believe in. And sure enough, he did. He gave me all the money in his wallet.
Wow.
Now, the coolest part of that trip was on the way home. We started in Kentucky, made it to Miami, Florida. On the way back, had my grandma's all hoopty car that she'd given me. I think she was too embarrassed to be seen it anymore, so she gave it to me. So I'm driving this thing. I'm on I-75, and suddenly it poops out like smoke starts coming out of the engine, all this. I'm able to make it to an exit, just barely drift off the exit, and was able to pull in right off the exit into a mechanic shop parking lot, which was a grace. I get in there and start ministering to this mechanic and talking to him about what the Lord had done in our story, and finally, after a while talking to him about Jesus, he takes us over to Greyhound Station. And along the way, I said, man, I got to let you know, God made me drop out of college, ruin everything I had planned for my future, partly so I could be here in this vehicle with you to let you know he has something so big planned for your life that if I could show you a DVD right now of your life story, you wouldn't believe it'd be that big. He said, well, I think God's called me to you, and I think God's called you to me. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, God knew that I needed to hear that today, but he also knew that you were going to need to find a way home, so I'm going to buy your Greyhound tickets. So he hands us $218, or $220 is what he handed us, because our bus tickets are supposed to be $109 a piece. Right before that, I'd been praying, and me and this guy that, was the avowed agnostic, I said, man, we got to pray and ask the Lord to provide. I don't know what he's going to do. We're broke down. This is end of the line for us. And as we prayed, I just kept hearing a number in my head in a weird way, in a way that was kind of obnoxious because I couldn't focus in prayer. Number 240 over and over again. So sure enough, we hanging out with Eugene, that was the mechanic. He hands us this $220, and I go to get out of the truck, and I'm just like, thank you so much. You have no idea what this means to me. He goes, hold on. So yeah, he goes, you got any food? I said, no. He's like, I'll take another 20 for food. 220 plus 20, exactly 240. Wow. Well, you go into Greyhound, and sure enough, at that time, the state of Georgia, taxes and fees on our $218 bus tickets in the state of Georgia were to the penny, $22, and the total of the bus tickets was exactly 240.
Wow.
And as a 20-year-old kid who had just given up everything, just to see if there was a chance, if there was a sliver of a chance that the same God that took bread and fish and fed thousands, and if there was just a shred of a chance that the same God that made blind eyes see is the exact same God that's living inside of my chest, then, man, I wanted to take him up on all his offers. And so that was the first trip. And after that, man, it kind of gets addicting once you start trusting God.
Mm-hmm.
It's more addicting than any of the alternatives I've found on the other side. Just to learn to lean in and to trust and to see him provide. And then, because every time I watch him keep a promise, it makes me think the same thing. Oh, man, I bet the next promises he keeps is going to be even better. Mm-hmm. It's going to be even bigger. And so it led me to about 24 years old. I decided to start living that way all the time and permanently, and was able to move into a car, and eventually prayed in a van.
Got promoted.
Oh, it was awesome. Had a sweet bed in the back of that thing. It was awesome. But I'm telling you, those lessons of being able to lean in and realizing, you know, we talked about it a couple weeks ago, Psalm 34:10 says, young lions suffer want and hunger. Those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Mm. And what that means for me is, okay, so I'm seeking the Lord. That means that if there's something I'm lacking, first of all, it's not good. Or second of all, I'm right on the brink of God providing it. Mm. Or it means, okay, if there's something good in my life and I need, then all I need to do is seek the Lord. And it's the same promise we see repeated in Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added to you. Mm. All these things. And what I've realized is, and this is one of the great lies that I think the enemy tells me, with provision, with him being enough, with, and this can be money, that's the obvious one we think of, but it's true with hope. It's true with like the provision of his Spirit to get me through a hard time. It's true in the midst of depression. It's true in the midst of all these other intangible things that might not look as concrete as a bank account. You know, that is God going to keep his word? And the, finally, the thing that I feel like he's had to convince me of, and I'm so honored that he has, and I hope I'm always growing into this reality more and more, is that he is more excited about answering my prayers than I am about praying them.
Wow. Say that again, because there's a lot of people I know that are just kind of hanging on by a thread and really lost hope, but yes. Say that last part again, please.
That he is more excited about answering your prayers than you're ever going to be about praying them. Mm. And I've realized it's just true of his personality and his heart in so many ways. Every time I sing a worship song to him, his ears are way more excited about hearing it than my mouth is about singing it. Every time he hears a prayer, he's rejoicing far more than even the person who's going to get to watch him answer. Mm. And that's just a character trait of God that I feel like is so easy to get lost, and especially in the hustle and bustle of life, and even just in modern American church culture, to be able to stop and say, wait a second, I serve an enthusiastic God. Mm. A God who's not there, not up there in heaven feeling obligated, like, well, put all these promises in the Bible, I guess I got to answer these prayers. It's no, he can't wait. He died for the privilege of answering those prayers. And ultimately, I think that's the thing that I want to make sure my mind is always going back to, is if I'm ever doubting provision, if I'm ever doubting that he's enough, if I'm ever doubting that he's going to keep his promises, what I need to stop and do is say, hey, that's actually a lie from the enemy in the back of my mind, trying to tell me what I'm really doubting is that the cross was enough, that his blood was sufficient, and that his resurrection conquered as much as his word says it does. And when I think of that, suddenly I remember, oh, man, that blood was enough. That blood was enough.
Amen. And I know for a lot of you listening, you know, it's been Easter just time you hear this, probably about a month and since we celebrated Easter, but wow, the blood was enough, as Kurt shared, and he's going to be with us over the next couple of days, maybe even all week, as we're going to talk more about how God taught him that he is his provider. And I know you're going to be greatly encouraged. I hope you'll tell a friend to join us. We're going to hear some amazing stories about how God provided, and not only did he just provide, but he just blessed in a big, big way. And so if you've kind of lost your hope in how God can be your provider, I hope you will join us as we continue our conversation with Kurt Vernon. Also later this week, when we talk about his new worship CD that he's got out, a couple of great songs I've already heard. I know you're going to be blessed by that. So make sure you join us tomorrow as we continue our conversation with Kurt Vernon on Hope Is Here.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.